Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
It is so great to be with you. I wish my family could be with me. We're one of your missionaries that you support monthly. And so I guess this is a time to be a little stockholders meeting, to let you know what God is doing in our missions effort to see every student on every school reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's such a great time to be back in Wisconsin. This is where I know my boys are really jealous of me this morning because we're back up here. Let me give you an update because we used to be your Youth Alive missionaries for Wisconsin, Northern Michigan. We were your missionaries here for this district for 11 years. And it was 5 years ago, right at this point, I can tell you, God really started ratcheting up our nest. He started to really make it uncomfortable. And which is hard because we were very comfortable. We loved it. Excited at what God was doing in our schools through our students. And it's been an amazing 5 years. God began to wrestle our nest and culminated in God challenging us to take into a national role with Youth Alive. And so we head up the campus missionary component of Youth Alive, which is students literally basically saying, I'll take the ownership of seeing my friends come to Christ. Students reaching students. In the last 5 years, I'm excited to tell you, the last 5 years we've seen over 27,000 students make that choice to say, I'll be a missionary to my friends. That all step forward to be the voice of hope. And so there are my heroes. They encourage me. They keep me young. It's even fun watching my boys make that decision to be a missionary to their school. As one of the parts when God called us from Waupaca to Nixa, Missouri, was we knew that God had a plan and a call for their life at that school. And that's one of the joys, is helping students realize that when you're following Jesus, it doesn't end at the door when you leave the church. And that's the whole strength of what being a campus missionary is all about, is it's being a follower of Jesus wherever he takes you. And the stories have been amazing at what God's been doing. Let me give you a case in point. Reese is a campus missionary in Mississippi. And just a few months ago, he was walking through his school, and I just love these reports, because every single day when students go onto our national website and they fill out just an update of how they're doing in their journey as a campus missionary, I get every single one of those as an email into my email box. And so I'm praying over them every day, and this was one that came in just a few months ago. Reese was was in school and just following God. And as he was walking through the hallway, he noticed one of the angry atheists in the school. And I love that, because in his reports, he described him, I saw the angry atheist. And not just an atheist, angry atheist. And he goes, and I felt like God was telling me to give him some money. And he kind of hesitated, going, well, what's he going to think? God, what? I mean, he's arguing with God as he's walking through the school hallway. And he finally just goes, okay, I'll do it. Walks up to him and goes, hey, I know this is going to seem weird, but God told me to give you some money, so here you go. And so he walks away, because he didn't know what the angry atheist kid was going to do. He starts walking down the hallway. All of a sudden, he hears these footsteps, tracking down. Reese, come back here. What? He goes, all I can tell you is I felt like God was telling me to give you $5, give you some money, so here you go. And he's just like, how did you know? How did you know? And Reese is just like, I don't know anything. He goes, I just knew that God told me to do this. And at that moment, Reese goes, or the atheist kid starts sharing with him that his dad had lost his job. He hadn't been able to eat for a couple days. And he had had no money until Reese showed up. And what was so neat was Reese just kind of goes, man, this is amazing that God would think of you. And the atheist goes, yeah, I've got a lot to think about. And that's what I love about what our students are doing on their school campuses, is they follow after the voice of God, and we're watching this play out all across the nation as these students step forward to share the hope of God. Hannah is a campus missionary from Alabama. I love Hannah's story. Hannah, as a sixth grader, going into her sixth grade year, God began to speak to her to be a campus missionary. And over a few months, she started right at the beginning of the school year. She wanted to get a campus club going on her school. And what was so neat was her parents are actually pastors. But what was amazing was she never once on this journey sat down and said, hey, I need your help. She started just taking the resources off our website and started doing it, started planning, started strategizing. In fact, her parents didn't even know about it until it got closer, about a month from when she was going to go meet with the principal. That they're like, you're doing what? This is awesome. I mean, they started encouraging her, but it was just so neat. She was taking the initiative herself. In fact, I got a video that kind of shares a little bit of Hannah's story. Can we get ready to show that? Because I want you to be able to hear it from Hannah, and I'll fill in the pieces, but this is Hannah sharing her story. So check this out.
It all started when I felt like God was leading me to start a campus club. At first, I was a bit scared about it, but I soon gained the faith and remembered that if God was asking me to step out in faith, He would be right there with me. I started doing everything I could do to prepare. One major thing was to pray like crazy. I got some friends to help me kick it off and got permission from my parents and the principal. We kicked off our first group with 40 students. I was amazed. The group continued to grow. I guess word got out pretty quick that we had free donuts. So many kids from the band wanted to come that they even had to move their practice. Not only were people coming, but God was really moving. I look back over this year and have seen God open so many doors and do so much through this group. It wasn't always easy, but I've seen so much happen and God do so much in my school just because I stepped out. This year, I'm going to a new school, and that can be pretty overwhelming at first, but I don't see a new school. I see a new mission field, and I say, bring it on.
Hope you capture the passion of a student that's going to be willing to listen to God. And that's the whole part that connects all the stories, that connects the passion of what it is to reach a mission field, is it's listening to God and obeying. It's listening and then stepping out. And it's been an amazing journey when I look at it for our family's sake, because really to do what we were doing was taking a risk. Because we could have kept moving with what God was doing in Wisconsin or in Michigan. It was amazing. The doors, the schools that God was opening up. And yet God began to open up some amazing new partnerships. In fact, one of the dream projects I've been working on, I've had to literally, it's been kind of like walking through the dark at times. Because God hasn't given us a clear path on how to do some of these dream projects. One of them is to create an animated video gospel presentation. In fact, I remember sharing that the last time I was with you, very early on in our new step. How is God going to help us create this? I don't know animators, but I just know that we need to create something digital because this is a generation that listens with its eyes, thinks with its feelings. We need to create something in this way. And God has, it's been so amazing. Light for the Lost has picked it up as one of their national projects. It's a budget that should be probably about $150,000 to $200,000 project. And we're able to pull it off for about $70,000. And I'm pleased to tell you we have all of our money raised for that project. Go figure. In fact, the lead animator that we have working on it, here's some of the movies he's worked on. Leo and Stitch, Treasure Planet. He was the conceptual artist on the original Shrek. I could go down the list. And here's a guy that just loves Jesus. And he's been looking for projects to pour out and show the love for God. And so it's just been an amazing journey. And in fact, we got our very first rough piece of using the video and the animation. We got it right after the holidays. And it was right about that point, all of a sudden, God began to raise up some new conversations with other ministries that we've had great connecting, networking relationship with. But there's a couple of them that we wanted to go deeper, like let's create some projects together. And these are ministries that aren't Assemblies of God. They're just great brother and sister organizations. One of them is Dare to Share. They travel throughout the country helping equip students to share the gospel. And in fact, I was just A couple weekends ago, I went to their event in Lincoln, Nebraska, and just spent the week with their founder. His name's Greg Steer, and just hanging out with their staff, and we're just beginning to dream. And it was, I had started to feel this leading, and even more so after that weekend. We're going to get together at their St. Louis event here in two more weeks again. And what's so amazing was I had to sit there and put, because we were all set, we could have had this video out for this fall, perhaps even by midsummer. And I was so anxious to do that, but then God begins to put these relationships of going, hold on a second, there's some things that you can do here that'll make it even better and even help it go farther. And so that's where we're at with that project. It's been an amazing thing of trying to follow after what does God have and what all does he have. And so we're on a journey. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 4. I want to share with you a little bit out of Romans chapter 4, looking at Paul's sharing with the church in Rome. This is an amazing passage because it references really the figure in the Bible that God has used for me the most in this faith journey on ourselves, for us as missionaries. God kept bringing across Abraham. Because so much of it, as we were wrestling with this 5 years ago, a lot of the excuses I kept offering up was excuses I could see Abraham trying to offer up as God was beginning to give him, and especially as Abraham began to understand the size of the dream, there's parts that you just kind of go, you probably could find somebody else better qualified. You probably could find somebody else younger. I mean, I was really praying as God began to wrestle, go bother some of our younger Youth Alive missionaries around the country. And I could name a couple of them off. Go bother them. I'm one of the old guys in this thing. Why me? And that was one of the parts about when you look at Abraham's story that becomes refreshing. Romans chapter 4, let's start off in verse 16. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all of Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things as though they are not, as though they were. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said of him, so shall your offspring be. Verse 19. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Verse 21, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised, this is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words, it was credited to him, were written for him, for not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over the death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Father, we thank you for being an amazing God. Take the remaining moments that we have this morning to speak to our hearts on where we're at in our journey with you and all that you have for our life today. God, you're an amazing big God that gives big dreams to every person. Lord, we just pray that you'll just speak to us. Show us your love in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm gripped by the story, and at some points when we read passages in Scripture, it comes off just like the story. And some points we lose sight of it, that if this happened today, what would the impact be? So let's retract the story of Abraham and Sarah real quickly. When God began to speak to Abraham and give him the dream that he would be the father of many nations, that from his genealogy, his genes, he would be the father of many nations. That's a huge, credible dream. I mean, I look at it even in the scope of today. I have two sons, Grant and Garrett. Grant's a junior. My youngest son, Garrett, is a freshman in high school. And it would be a lot like if one day my son Grant would grow up to be the president of the United States, and if Garrett was here, I'd let him pick a country. But it would be like Garrett going on to becoming, say, the prime minister of Canada. That'd be kind of cool, seeing the G8 summit up there and then see your two sons leading two countries. But we look at it in that scale and we're like, well, there's no way that would happen today. But for our God, it could. And what's so amazing was that was the even bigger dream that God had for Abraham. In fact, what's so amazing about this dream is it's still rippling out today. We are descendants from Abraham. This passage brings it out. Is in faith, we are part of that faith family tree. When Abraham put his faith in God and God began to do this amazing miracle, the family of faith connection still reverbs out every single time somebody puts their faith and hope and trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That moment of faith keeps rippling out. It's ever going. And so when I look at this story, when God begins to deal with Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, Bible scholars tells us that Abraham was somewhere close to 70, 75 years old. Sarah was in her early to mid-60s, late 60s. Amazing to be thinking at that age of starting a family. Randy, I know you're not that old, Randy, but you know, you're a grandpa now, but Sue, we could be praying for you guys. I just wanted to see that look. But here's the funny part, is when you're in that point of life, here's what God begins, and it became their passion that they want both. It just wasn't Sarah falling along on Abraham. Sarah wanted this too. And they began to pray and hang on to God. What's so amazing is it's an amazing story, because even as we read in this passage today, and I love how it says it here in verse 19, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. And what rolls through my mind when I read that passage is I could just see Abraham today, you know, having one of those full-length mirrors. You know, you have them in homes, like the motel room had one that I was looking at today, and it made me think of this passage too. Because you look at, you know, have you ever checked yourself out in one of those long mirrors? You know, sometimes we're always doing, you know, sucking up, you know, going, that's not how I look. Lord help me. We're doing all those things, and yet I could see Abraham looking at the mirror and going, okay, God, I know this dream. I'm trusting you, but this body is as good as dead. there's no way. And that's probably the part of this journey that I've loved about it, is God began to just challenge us. God began to wrestle our nest with what would a movement look like of seeing a million students come to Christ. But then God just has a way of keep making it so much bigger, because at some points even you can get comfortable with having a dream of a million students. What would a dream of a million campus missionaries look like? Seeing millions of students just taking up and following after what God will speak into their heart and do. What does a movement like that look like? What does it feel like? How does it birth? And it's been so amazing over the last several years, all the different people that God's brought across my path. Alan Green is a guy out of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, that 14 years ago, God put a crazy dream in his head to, in the backyard of one of the local churches, to do a Christian music festival. And from having a few hundred people show up in that backyard of a local church, to today, you can go on Labor Day weekend, you can go to their music festival. It's called Lifelight. And it's the only free Christian music festival in the nation. I shouldn't say the only one. It's the largest free Christian music festival in the nation. They have 100,000 people a day show up at their event. And been able to get to know Alan and just the faith, and I love it. Because here's a guy that has the same passion of just, what's it take to reach students? It's a crazy dream. And what's so good is we all have dreams. What are you dreaming on your journey with God for today? On your journey with God, what's your dream? That you can look and just say and realize, you know what? There isn't anything that I can do. There isn't anything, and that's really the condition that Abraham was at, was he realized not only the scope of how big the dream that God had for him. And you can, and what's so amazing is when Abraham thought he knew and kind of still wasn't quite going the right direction that God wanted him to do, God has a way of just keep reminding us of that dream. Genesis chapter 15 is a great example of it, where God begins to visit with Abraham in a tent, and he goes, Abraham, I don't think you get the full dream of the size of the dream I'm talking about. And you can read about in Genesis 15, the first couple verses, it says the Lord took him up, took him outside. I love that phrase. The Lord took him outside. He got him up out of the areas where he was comfortable. He got him up from an area where his vision of what earthly he could see would be unrestricted. Took him outside on a night, much like you could have a night around here. Not a lot of light pollution. All you see is stars. And that's what God began to say, look up at the stars, Abraham, and count them, if indeed you can. This is the size of the dream that I'm talking about. And see, God just doesn't want to flash these huge, humongous dreams in anybody's life unless they're just willing to just chase after him and depend on him. And what's so neat about this was, and we read it here, you can read it in other parts throughout Genesis when it's talking about Abraham until Genesis 21 when Isaac was born. What was credited to Abraham, the fruit of that faith, was it was credited to him as righteousness. Righteousness. Just like you could pull out a credit card out of your wallet right now. Can you imagine if all of a sudden you went to a local department store, you loaded up the counter full of goods, and you're realizing you have nothing in your bank account to pay for that. You know that there's nothing there. And all of a sudden you pull out that card, and let's say, for fun of it, let's just say it's a debit card, because you know you don't have the money in your bank account to pay that. But all of a sudden they swipe it, and they're like, oh, it's good to go. Here you go. That is what God did for Abraham. He put a balance on that account that should not have been able to have had a withdrawal. And what's so, it becomes an amazing step for us to realize that by faith, God's got a plan for our life. No matter the direction it might take, it could go crazy, it could go, you just never know. Life has a way of throwing some amazing things our way. Jorge is a campus missionary in Oregon, and to every student that signs up with us, we send them a Fire Bible, which is an amazing devotional Bible for students. Great study Bible. It's the only one that's Pentecostal in its doctrine on the market. And we've been able to resource over the last 6 years, we've been able to resource over 38,000 students. It's amazing. And Jorge had his Fire Bible. He's at the youth group on a Wednesday night. So students, think about your youth group on a Wednesday night. Jorge's sitting down, and a new kid happened to come in, sat down next to him, and elbowed him, and he said, dude, how do you know that this is real? Jorge didn't know what to say other than just kind of just give some examples. He really didn't know what to say. He goes, well, here's how I know that God's real. Here's what he's done in my life. It's the right answer. He began to share with him just a couple things of how God had become real in his life. What was so neat was later on in that service, that new kid went up forward and gave his heart to Christ. Jorge went up, congratulated him, and then he looked at his watch and realized it was getting late, and he's like, I've got to get out of here. Jorge was sharing this in his report. He goes, if I'm not out in the parking lot at a certain time, my parents will get mad at me. In fact, they'll even ground me. I won't be able to go back the next week, so I've got to be out there. So he was heading out to the parking lot, and he got almost all the way out when he realized he left his Fire Bible back in the youth room, runs back in the youth room, looks around, can't find it, it's gone. And he's like, man, where is it? Looked around in the lost and found, talked to a couple of the youth leaders, no one saw it. So Jorge had to leave without his Bible. Comes back the next week, quickly does some checking around, looking for it. It hadn't turned up. And then he looks over, across the room, sees that the new kid is back, which he's like, cool, new kid's back. And then all of a sudden he realized something in that new kid's hand, because Jorge had etched and designed a whole bunch of different drawings on the cover of his Bible, so it was very distinctive. And he realized the new kid had ripped off his Bible. So he's going to do anything like many of us would do. It's like, I'm going to go get my Bible back. So he starts walking across the youth room, gets almost all the way to that point, and then the new kid had stopped one of the youth leaders, so Jorge just stands right there kind of waiting his turn. And he can overhear the new kid then asking the youth leader, hey, what do these names mean at the top of the page? Matthew, Mark, Luke, what do these names mean? And what do these numbers mean? So here's the youth leader explaining how to read the Bible, the books, the chapters, the verses. And Jorge shared in his report at that moment, he goes, I knew that that Bible wasn't mine anymore. That God had placed it in the hands of who he wanted it to be in. See, I love students that'll follow Jesus like that. I'm reading that. I'm just telling you, at my laptop, I start to tear up. I'm a softy. And I am just, I'm like, we got to reward that faith. So we went, and in fact, we were out of the ones that we shipped to students, so we had to go buy one from a local bookstore, our own Bible. But we did. We went out and bought him one, got his name engraved on it, and we mailed it to him. A couple days went by, and I just sent him an email saying, hey, Jorge, did you get anything in the mail lately? And I got this, just about another couple days went by, and I got this email back. It was long. But it started with my favorite word, dude. I love that word. I'm just telling you, there's going to be a day I'm going to use a message, and I'll only use that one word, dude. Because dude fits in any situation, any circumstance, any emotion, dude fits. If you're angry, dude. If you got a question, dude. You know, you could be sad, dude. I mean, it's just, it fits any situation. It's just, it's so cool. I'm sorry. But it started out with, I'm telling you, there's going to be a day I'm going to preach a message, just dude. It goes on, dude, I can't believe that you guys sent me another Bible. Thank you. But he goes, there's been so much happening in my family the last couple days. I can't wait to tell you. And so he goes on to tell the story that when he got home from school one day, and this is where I've never met Jorge before, but we heard all about it in this store, in his report that he was sending in. And he goes, when I got home from school, my mom and dad, who are divorced, he goes, my dad happened to be there talking to my mom over some things. And he goes, my two sisters had just come home from school too. So we come in, and he goes, I've noticed the package on the counter. And he goes, I remember how my first Fire Bible came. And I'm like, no way. So he kind of slides it off the counter, goes into the living room, and he starts opening it up, going, there's no way this could be another Bible. And he starts opening it up, and when he realized it was, he started jumping up and down. Well, when he pulled it all the way out and he saw his name engraved on it, he's going, no way! He starts shouting in the living room. Mom and dad come from the kitchen. The two sisters come from their bedroom. They're all running to the living room trying to figure out what's wrong. And all of a sudden, he's like, check this out. And they're looking at him like, a nut. They're like, what's the big deal? And Jorge goes, check this out. And they're like, all this over a Bible? For the next hour and a half, his mom and dad, his two sisters, start asking him a ton of questions about, who is this Jesus? Just like the new kid did. How do you know that this thing's real? Why do you like to go to church? Why? And for the next hour and a half, Jorge got to share with them what God's been doing in his life. And using some of the helps that are in the Bible, he was able to lead his mom and dad and his two sisters to Christ that afternoon. And to tell you how genuine these decisions were, for the next 3 weeks straight, remember, mom and dad are divorced. For the next 3 weeks straight, every single night, dad would come back over to the house and they would have family devotions together. After the first week, the dad went out and bought Bibles for the whole family because they were tired of having to pass Jorge's around the circle. everybody needed a Bible. But that's the, and what I just love about it is all this happened, a family coming to Christ because of a Bible being ripped off. Because given Jorge's situation, we found out even more since then, Jorge was the first generation believer in his family. As far as we can go back to his grandparents, on either side, none of them have ever gone to church, not even on a holiday. They've never gone to church. And so Jorge is the first generation believer in his family. And so here he is. When he lost that Bible, there wasn't another one on the coffee table when he went home. And yet Jorge was listening after and kept following after God's voice. And that's the same journey like in Abraham, when you can look at your body and say it's as good as dead. There's no way that God could come through. Maybe you're on a journey today, and we're all on journeys. Could be looking on a journey for God to come through in your finances, in your marriage, in your family, at your workplace, in your school, in relationships, whatever it could be. Here's the great thing. When God begins to lead you on a journey and you place your trust in him, the great thing is his promises will never fail. When God made that promise to Abraham, he made a promise, he made a commitment that he would never bail. That's the God that we serve. And that's the God that we all serve. And that's why I read that passage this morning, was that, and make sure that you catch that towards the end of Romans chapter 4, was that this was just not for Abraham, but for all to those who believe. In faith. What's so amazing is people look at the Old Testament and think that God was some different God because they offered sacrifices. And that was the way that they absolved themselves of their sin. Let me suggest something to you. Was that when they did all those sacrifices, maybe that was a reminder of their sin. It helped remind them of the size of their sin. But what really made things right with God was their faith. When you go through that Old Testament, and when you look at those, you can look through the listing of those from the Old Testament that's listed in Hebrews chapter 11. What brought it? What brought the closeness? What brought the resolution with God? Their faith. What's so amazing about the promises is that God has a promise for each and every one of us. Are you trusting in it today? Are you trusting in God to come through like never before? I want you to pray with us. This is where I ask you to pray for us on our journey. Here's what we're believing God for. We're believing God will give us a movement of students who will chase after God and let the creative God do a work in their life. See, we're believing God to give us a generation of students that just won't counterculture. It's not what I'm looking for. We're looking for a generation that creates culture, that the all-creative God that created this universe will do a creative work in them, that perhaps the next great American idol will be one of our Holy Spirit-empowered students. Maybe the next great educator, maybe the next great teacher, maybe the next great politician is going to be one of our Holy Spirit-empowered students. It's a journey. Students, some of you in here are going to change the world. In fact, I shouldn't say some. All of us can change the world. But it's in who are we putting our faith and trust in. And what's so amazing is it's a God that wants and delights when we risk it all and he can come through. Not only like in Abraham, but in all of our cases, God will make a way.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.